to Crossroads. Great to have you guys here this morning. We're going to spend some time worshiping together. Just stand up where you are. If you're online, just make sure you got your headphones up real loud so everyone else can hear you singing, except for yourself, all right? Here we go.
Nothing can tear us from. Nothing can tear us from. The grip of his mighty love. We've only glimpsed his vast affection. Her whispers of his heart and passion. It's worth.
The deep
clouds form. Dark is his path on the wings of the storm. You alone. Shining light, measureless might, ineffable love, where angels delight to worship above. Thy mercies out tender, how firm to the end, a maker, defender, redeemer, and friend. You King, to you alone be all majesty. Your glories and wonders, what tongue can recite? Breathe in the air, shine in the light. You alone, you alone are the matchless king. To you alone be all majesty. Your glories and wonders, what tongue can recite? Breathe in the air, shine in the light. Sing, oh worship the King. Worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing his wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, fulfilled in splendor and girded with praise. You alone be all majesty. Your glories and wonders, what tongue can recite? You breathe in the air, shine in the light. You alone are the matchless king. You shine in the light. You breathe in the air. You breathe in the air. You shine in the light. You breathe. You breathe in the air. You shine in the light. I love when we get to come into a room like this, and we get to hear our voices together. We hear it at like baseball games. If something great happens, you know, everybody cheers in one voice, right? Sporting events. But you know, when we're in this room and we're all singing about the character of God, for me, there's just something that is just so, so beautiful about that. So I would like to just take a moment where we just have the voices sing that chorus again. And focus your attention on, you know, who we're singing to, who we're singing about, but also take the moment to be aware that there are people around you that are saying the same thing, that are agreeing with you. And we're magnifying the character of God, and we're shouting it out. So let's sing this together. Sing, You Alone Are the Matchless King.
You. Shine in the light, for you alone are the matchless king. To you alone be all majesty. Your glories and wonders, what tongue can recite? You breathe in the air, shine in the light.
God, I thank you for the way that you pursue us. the way that you reveal yourself to us. I thank you that you're not interested in religion, but you're interested in having a relationship with your creation. So I thank you for this place that we can come and we can seek you and experience you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, thanks so much for singing along. So good. So good to share this time with you. Do me a favor and say hi to somebody around you. Ask them how long they've been coming to Crossroads and then have a seat. If you're watching online, just meet a stranger. Cool? Man, let's thank this band for that. That is good stuff. Man, well, in case you haven't figured it out, today we're going to have a lot to do with water. Yes, water is going to happen because we're going to have people inside this room, whether you planned it or not, you may make a decision to actually get baptized today. Yes, to get baptized, or as you might have heard it say before, why have you not been baptized? I'm not sure if you ever heard that movie before. It's a classic. You're not American unless you've heard somebody say, why have you not been baptized? It's good stuff. It really is. Who knows what movie that is? Nacho Libre.
I'm a little concerned right now about your salvation and stuff. How come you have not been baptized?
Because I never got around to it, okay? I don't know why you always have to be judging me. Because I only believe in science.
But tonight, we are going up against Satan's cavemen. And I just thought it would be a good idea if you... Felicidades.
There, now if you haven't seen that, now you're officially an American. It's good. I'm glad you're here. Glad we got that out of the way with. Next week is going to be a really, really big week. Go Cincinnati. How many of us are signed for Go Cincinnati next week? Yes. It's going to be great. If you haven't signed up, it's not too late. We need you. We really do need you. No need to sign up at this point. We just need you next weekend to be at whatever Crossroads site is your home at 7:30 in the morning on Saturday. We'll be done by 1. You'll feel good. You'll help people. It's win-win all the way around. We really need you. So we'll see you next weekend, 7:30, as we get ready for our annual tradition of Go Cincinnati. Blessing our city, our region, organizations that need help, people who need help this next week. So let's pray before I go any further. God, you're good to give us right now, and I believe that you're going to do something really profound today. I believe you might already be laying the groundwork in many of our lives. You have been laying the groundwork for a spiritually significant crossover moment when we cross over from being about ourselves to being about you and being marked by that. So Jesus, help me to represent you well, and may all that I say be pleasing to you and in accordance with your character and identity. And I pray these things according to those things. Amen. Well, as we have ended our Brave journey, next week we start a new series, which I'm really excited about, called Life Hacks. As we end our Brave journey, I think back on my life, and if you're at all like me, you have regrets in life. And if you're at all like me, you'll notice that the regrets that you have in life tend to be around things that you weren't brave in. I tend to not have regrets around stupid things I've done, though I've done stupid things, but those things don't really bother me for a long time. I tend to have regrets about when I know I could do something, but I wasn't brave enough to do it. I'm still haunted by when a guy I know way back in, I don't know, was fifth grade or something like that, was picked on, sixth, seventh grade, whatever it was picked on in the playground, and I didn't do anything. I wasn't brave enough to step in. I don't know if I would have gotten beat up or what would have happened, but I regret that, and that haunts me. Over the last 20 years of Crossroads, there's been times when I could sense there was something going wrong in an area or somebody was being an unhealthy influence, and I wasn't brave enough to nip it in the bud and do something about it. Those are the things that really get to me. Those are the things that give us nightmares, that cause us to have regret. I've never done anything that was brave and ever regretted it. I've never stepped out and done a move that was aggressive. It might have been wrong. I might have made a mistake, but I never had it haunt me. I never had it regret me. Now, some of you, you're in here today, and you came in here just for a good service, and hopefully you're going to get a good service, but some of you, you're going to do something you haven't done before. You're going to get baptized. It's going to happen to you, and the only reason, if you want to be honest with yourself, by the end of our time, the only reason why you haven't is you haven't been brave enough, and you may have some regret over that, or you may be missing out on some closeness of God with Him. See, every great in the New Testament portion of the Bible, once Jesus comes, every single great, every single one has been baptized. They come to faith in Jesus, and they're baptized. Every single one. There's no exceptions. It's a regular, ongoing thing. Let me give you one of my more favorite stories in this line from the book of Acts. Here's what happens. And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Elijah. Ethiopian eunuch. Most of us know what an Ethiopian is, right? We still have Ethiopians today. This is an Ethiopian eunuch. If you don't know what a eunuch is a man who doesn't have any testicles. You might call a man like this today ballless. You might have called somebody that if you saw them not exhibiting bravery. It's a term that we use in case someone seems to not be acting manly or tends to not be acting brave enough. This is not the case in the first century. If you were a eunuch, you had a major amount of power. You had some serious chutzpah. He is serving in the court of the queen of Ethiopia. And in that ancient world, as you would rise the corporate ladder in the royal court, you would get to a place where your power was so significant and so great that the king or the queen would ask you, "Do you want to keep climbing? Do you want to keep serving me? Because if you do, you must undergo castration." And the reason was this, is it was a way to keep down potential coups. Because in the ancient world, you could never be king or queen, or you could never lead a revolt. If everyone knew, there's no way you could have your own offspring. Because if you couldn't have your own princes or princesses as valid heirs to the throne, there was no power, there was no gravitas in your being. So to undergo this was an act of bravery and serving somebody and having a huge, huge level of power in your day and in your age. And this Ethiopian apparently has a relationship with God, the God of the Old Testament. He is at minimum a seeker. He goes to Jerusalem and there's because on official business, and while he's there, he stops in at the temple, and apparently there must have been some sacrifices going on. That's what temples are for. And one of the things that happens in the temple is they would take a lamb and they would put that lamb on an altar and they would kill that lamb. And the person who is bringing forth that lamb is thinking to themselves, "Wow, this lamb is being eliminated, but really God should be eliminating me because I've been hard-hearted. I've been unjust. I've been selfish. I've been dishonoring of his ways. I've been dishonoring of his commandments. And God's reminding me that he's a gracious God that doesn't take it out on me. This is happening with this lamb right here." And so Philip sees this guy stopped reading, trying to process scripture. And it says Philip ran over to him. So Philip. Phil goes and runs. This is old movie day here at Crossroads. We had Nacho Libre, Beverly Hills Cop with Eddie Murphy. So Philip goes and runs over to him and says this, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, the eunuch said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this, "Like a sheep, he was led to slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, he opens not his mouth." Perhaps this eunuch saw a lamb being slain at the temple. And now he's reading this thing out of the book of Isaiah, and it's a prophecy about the coming one. And Philip says, "Do you understand what's happening here?" He said, how can I understand unless someone guides me? I just don't understand." So Philip goes into explaining it to him. He helps him see that there is a powerful, profound thing that's happening in the world, and he can be involved with it. It says this, "And the eunuch said to Philip, 'About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this?
about himself or about someone else. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized?" Jesus is one of the people in the New Testament who is baptized. His baptism is a bit different than everyone after him. But nonetheless, he's baptized. He goes to where John, his cousin, John the Baptist, is baptizing. And when John sees Jesus coming to be baptized, John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that comes to take away the sin of the world." Jesus is the ultimate lamb. He's the last lamb. Just as people have taken perfectly unblemished lambs, the best lamb they could possibly find to be sacrificed on their behalf to remind them that God is a gracious God, Jesus is the ultimate lamb. He's the last sacrifice. He is the perfect lamb who's never sinned, who has no blemishes at all. And he goes onto an altar that's shaped like a cross. And when he goes to a cross, he takes the beating that you and I deserve for all eternity. He does what you and I don't have to do for the rest of eternity. This is why this is called the good news. The good news is you don't have to impress God with your morality. That's the good news. The good news is no matter what you did last night, if you have a relationship with Jesus, you don't have to go to church to get back in God's good graces. The good news is if you've had an awful life and a difficult life and a rebellious life towards God, the good news is you don't have to come back in the next life and work your way back in a different life form that's better or less than the last one that you had. That's good news. The good news is, no matter what you've done, no matter who you are, God wants you in a relationship with him. And the way you get to a relationship with him is through his son Jesus, who stretched out himself on a cross, the lamb put on an altar and shed blood for you and me. And Philip communicates this to this eunuch. And this eunuch is like, "Oh my gosh, you're kidding. Wow, whoa, I need baptized right now. In fact, there's water right over there. What would keep me right now from being baptized?" One of the most brave things that I ever did in my life was when I was 33 or 34 years old, I got baptized. See, I had all my reasons why I shouldn't be baptized. My reasons were, you know, I was baptized as an infant, and I even had some good theology to go around that, and I went to a seminary that kind of bolstered that. And I respect somebody who has that theological conviction, but as I was really thinking about it more and more and more and walking with it, I realized that it's 33, 34, as I would just read the Bible with a basic understanding, I realized, no, the real reason is I'm being a weenie boy. That's the real reason. I'm not brave enough to get baptized. I haven't been operating bravely. People often say, "Well, I'd like to get baptized, but could I have like a private baptism?" No. No. Jesus doesn't have a private baptism. There's no private baptism in the Bible anywhere. This guy who is about ready to get baptized, he's in a chariot. He's a powerful individual because he has a chariot. He's on the road, right? He's invited him into his chariot, and he sees there's water right there. He's not saying, "Okay, as soon as we find some water that's back behind a grove of trees where I can have a private moment with God, how about we do this?" Because one of the key things about baptism is you out yourself. You out yourself as a follower of Jesus, as saying, "I need to be one who, just as Jesus was gone into the grave and he died, I'm going under the water, symbolizing that I've died to myself, I'm dying to all my past, and just as Jesus came up out of the grave, I come up out of the watery grave to a new life. I need to do something that shows this reality that's happening in me spiritually." So at age 33, 34, I was convicted of this. And I said, "Okay, I'm going to do it." Now, when you're a pastor of a church that you started and you get baptized in front of them and you've been ordained and you've actually baptized other people, it gets a little embarrassing. Like, okay, I baptized many of you, but I've never been baptized. But I realize I either want to keep working on my public persona and not display some level of weakness, or I can be brave and err on the side of spiritual aggression, which is what I want to do, and it's what I want you to do. I want you to err on the side of spiritual aggression. There's way too many people who err on the side of spiritual conservancy. who err on the side of just like, I need to do what's clean, I need to do what's, and that's just not the way it should be. I had a friend who, a guy I met when I was working out, at least I was going to stand in line at some place, and I cut in line. He thought I cut in line on him, I didn't, but it made him mad. And you don't want to make a 6'5" guy mad who's a veteran of the Iraq War and has lost a leg. You just don't want to do that. So he looked at me like, we didn't know each other at all. He looked at me like, we were like, eh. And fortunately for him, it didn't go anywhere, because it would not have been good for him if it, you know, it just would not have been good for him at all. But, you know, he stayed with me, and I kept thinking about that. And so for the Brave Journey, I made a spiritually aggressive move. Asked him, hey, do you want to be part of this Brave group? And he just wasn't sure. He had never been to Crossroads before or anything like that. And became part of our Brave group. And then last night, he got baptized. Got baptized last night. I'll tell you what, to see a new godly man take off his false leg, hop into a tub in front of people where he's never attended before, because Jesus has done a huge thing with him, is a spiritually aggressive move. Every person that God uses greatly is brave. Every single one. If you want God to use you greatly, you must be brave. And this includes doing the basic things that every single person who has ever followed Christ and has ever been a hero has done. And this includes being baptized. We're going to have the opportunity to do that like right now. But before we do, let's hear the stories of some people who are getting baptized this weekend at a Crossroads site. And while we do that, we're going to have the opportunity to be generous. If you're new today, just let us serve you, no worries. If you're part of Crossroads, this is how we can build into people here. This is how we do things like pay for supplies for Go Cincinnati, buy pools at all of Crossroads sites, have the infrastructure that blesses people in our city across the world. And so let's be generous either there or crossroads.net/give, especially if you're Crossroads anywhere, because there's no bag of me passing by your living room. And let's hear these people's stories.
Growing up, my relationship with God was like, I knew he was there, but I didn't realize really, like, truly what his love for me looked like.
When I was in trouble, I found God. When I was afraid, I found God. But as far as walking with God on a daily basis, that wasn't really there.
I was baptized when I was 7, and let me be honest, I was a clear-headed 7. Like, I knew this was Jesus, this was God, and I love him and I believe in him. It was a real, honest experience, and I believe that he absolutely approved of me in that experience. But, you know, I was still a child.
As a child, like, I felt like I needed to follow his rules. That's the main goal. I just want to get to heaven. I want to be with you, so I'll follow your rules, God.
And I was searching and searching for that thing that I just knew was not present in my life. I didn't really have to search. That God was present with me all the while.
I graduated, and I had a very open conversation with God. And I said, you know what, God? I know I need to be 100% you all the time. But I don't really want to do that right now. So I'm going to go kind of do me for a minute, get back to you when it's time. We'll be okay. And I could almost hear him laughing at me when I said that, right? And I felt the chuckle. And you know what I'm saying? I felt the chuckle.
He wants to walk with me side by side. And that relationship is so much more than just like following rules.
And it was just through this Brave Journey where I've been really listening to what God wants for me. And my older brother had said to me, you'll know when it's time for you to be baptized. You'll just know.
It's about him. I want to glorify him.
And I want a public declaration and a spiritual declaration that says, I'm your man, I'm God's man, and I'm with you.
By taking that step, I'm all in with him. And I'm so eager for it. I'm so excited. I feel like it's just a fresh new beginning.
I want the Holy Spirit to pour onto me throughout my entire life. I want to make sure my life reflects him, and the choices that I make glorify him.
God is doing things through me for my family. I just see it as being very beneficial for me personally, my wife, our marriage, and our children. And I want them to see me go through it and experience that with me. and hopefully to stir up something in them as well.
One of the things that sometimes trips us up, those of us who may not have been baptized, is we put something on it that is not supposed to be on it. We see this Ethiopian, and he's not becoming a spiritual superhero. Some people think that you can only be baptized if you're ready to be a spiritual superhero. If you're ready to, like, live naked in Norwood the rest of your life, then you can do that. Or you know, if you're going to be real hardcore, like, he's going to be hardcore, man. Like, I'm gonna never buy anything new. I'm going to go to Goodwill for the rest of my life. I'm going to take all that money and give it to the poor. Or if you're in, that's not him. Or if you're like, I'm on rock bottom. You know, because I'm rock bottom, and it seems like when you get baptized, you should be rock bottom, and you should just be like gushing emotionally because you're hit the wall. That's not him. That's not him. Or like, you're just like, you're really feeling it. It's like, oh, I feel it. It's coursing through my. We know he's got. He seems to have a conviction here. This is not like we see him on edge emotionally. Now, there may be people get baptized today who are at rock bottom and aren't there in the rope. There may be people who are baptized today who are doing it because they're going, man, I'm going to make some hardcore change in my life now. There may be some people who are going to be baptized who are having an amazingly emotionally high experience, and that's great. That's awesome to all those things. But those things aren't precursors to why you should get baptized. It's very simple. Has he been your lamb? Has he been your lamb? Is he the one that you are turning your life over to? Is he the one that you have turned your life over to? And you just want to tell him, just like you want to get married in front of somebody else. Is he the one you want to just tell him in front of other people that, no, I'm yours, God. I need to cement that for myself. I am yours. Let's pray right now. God, you're good. You're good. And I pray that your goodness comes on those in a unique way, who are about ready to get wet. Give us spiritual sobriety and rekindle our faith for those of us who have been baptized before, or some of us who are not ready to get baptized because we're not ready to receive you. We pray that you would kindle something fresh inside of us. And I pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, here's the deal. Okay. I don't know if you plan on this or not, but we plan on you being here. We are ready for you. We are ready for you. We're going to stand in just a moment. And when we stand, we're going to go all the way back here at the end of this aisle. You can come down rows right here. People are going to meet you there. And they're going to take you and just explain to you what's happening. And you might have never received Christ before. You're hearing this, but you might be thinking, I want that lamb. Great. They'll let you know what that looks like. And maybe you want to receive him right now. You might be thinking, I don't bring the right clothes. We got you covered. We understand that. We've done this before. You might be thinking, what do I do with all my personal effects? We got bags. We got it covered. We've done this before. And you're thinking, what about? I'm telling you, we've done this to thousands of people. We are prepared for you. Just head back there when we stand and get ready for something that could be personally profound and changing for you, if for no other reason than you're telling yourself, no, God, I am yours. Why don't we stand right now? Let's go ahead and stand and let's sing this song. And if you're ready, go ahead, take your position. Let's get it done. Come on.
So down in the valley, down in the valley, when waters rise, I'm still believing. Hope is alive. Hope is alive. All through the struggle, all through the struggle and darkest day, I'll remember the empty grave. My heart hangs, my heart hangs on every word that you speak. I need you, Lord. Come find me, Holy Spirit. Come. I've been walking through deserts. I need more of your presence. I'm weak, Savior, be my strength. Down in the valley, when rise, I'm still believing. darkest day, I'll remember the empty grave.
Your touch bringing me closer.
Broken my prayer, Father, meet me here. My life for all of your glory, your grace, let it surround me. Let faith change the atmosphere. Down in the valley, when
word that you speak. Mother's Day. I'm Chuck Mingo, and I'm going to be sharing some stories, hearing some stories of people before they jump in the pool, like Cheryl. So Cheryl, tell people what today is about for you. You said it's spiritual renewal.
It's a spiritual renewal. I was baptized when I was 12, and I followed Jesus Christ, and I want to identify with him and understand this is a spiritual renewal for me, and I'm sorry. I pray every time I'm here. I don't know what it is.
It's the Spirit of God is what it is. That's right. God's working in your heart.
You guys are always speaking to me. So
awesome. Well, Cheryl, I'm encouraged. I am really encouraged for today. And I just want to pray for you. God, I just pray that as Cheryl makes this move of boldness to say, I want to identify as an adult. I want to come under the waters of baptism. God, I believe there is even more new life in Christ for her on the other side of this bold choice. Bless her and bless everyone that will be walking in the pool today. Amen.
My heart hangs on every word that you speak. I need you, Lord, come find me. Holy Spirit, come. I am walking through deserts. I need more of your presence. I need Savior, be mine.
And who are you? So you guys are getting married in 3 weeks?
3 weeks from today.
All right, good. And so what is significant about, congratulations. What's significant about today? What's going on in you to make this decision today?
I grew up in the Catholic Church. I was baptized as an infant. I've been coming to Crossroads now for about 9 months. And it's just something that I wanted to do for God and for Jesus and for Samantha. She's been coming here quite a long time. I wanted to do this before we got married. So
I did it
for both of them.
So did you come in today knowing you're going to do this?
I didn't. No, I did not.
Dude.
Just on a whim.
So strong. So strong.
Thank you.
That is not, as long, if Jesus is residing on you, that is not a whim. So God, I pray for this couple. Have them have an amazing marriage starting in 3 months or 3 weeks, do you say?
3 weeks.
And just have this man be wrapped around your heart and know that he is secure in his identity as your son. Amen.
Amen.
Good stuff. Thank you.
All right. Hey, I'm here with Susan. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but like this whole crew of people just ran up here because this is her Brave group. Talk about the power of a small group. This is what God does when we get in community with other people. So, Susan, tell folks what you told me about what today means for you.
This is just a new journey for me, and I took a very brave step by joining this group because I only knew one person, and it was life-changing for me, and it's because of all of these women, so I'm super excited.
Amazing. So Susan, I asked Susan at the beginning of Brave, would she consider herself a Christ follower? She said, I was kind of learning. So not only is this a baptism for you saying that you're identifying with Christ, but you just received Christ recently through this Brave journey. How awesome is that, huh? Praise God. Praise God. Hey, I want all you guys, put a hand on Susan, because you guys share in this moment with her. This is the power of community. God, we bless Susan. We bless her as she goes through the waters of baptism. God, we thank you for the community that you put around her. She is in your family. This is her family, and we celebrate this powerful moment with her. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Go ahead.
Your hand healing what's broken, my prayer, Father, meet me here. My life for all of your glory.
I've got a good-looking couple here that I said, they're smiling like butcher's dogs over here, all happy. I thought I might get a little of their story. What's your name?
Drew.
And you are?
Demetria.
All right. And you planned on coming in here today and doing this?
Yes.
Oh, and why today? What's going on that you decided this was the right move for you?
We wanted to become closer with Jesus Christ.
All right.
And accept Him as our Lord and Savior.
That's phenomenal. So that's a new thing for you, receiving Christ.
Yes.
Awesome. So how'd you come to be around Crossroads then?
Two of our friends actually attend here. And we started going here when we first moved to Cincinnati, and then we returned. And we continued to go here. We've consistently been coming here for a year now.
All right. Well, Liz, you know that you would come to a new church, but have your heart revolutionized by Christ. Is there anything final you want to say on top of that? No? All right.
Thank you, Lord, for accepting us.
God, I thank you for this couple and just continue to do great things in their life. Amen. Hey, thanks for courage. Thanks for courage. That's awesome.
Your touch bringing us closer. Your hand healing what's broken. My prayer, Father, meet us. All of your glory, your grace, let it surround me. Let rain change the atmosphere. Down in the valley, when waters rise, I'm still believing hope is alive. All through the struggle,
I saw a big old man trying to sneak out of here. Don't sneak out of you when I have a microphone. What's your name?
Andre.
And why'd you do this today?
My wife planned on it, and then I wanted to take this step and receive His Spirit.
So you received His Spirit just today then. Did you sense anything different while you were in the pool, or was this just a thing that was good to do? All right, what's your name?
Andre.
God, I thank you for Andre. This is a new and godly man. Continue to be with him and take him to new heights today. Amen.
Thanks. My heart hangs on every word that you speak. I need you, Lord, come find me. Holy Spirit, come. I've been walking through deserts. I need more of your presence. I need Savior, be my strength.
Well, this is Johnny. Say hello, Johnny.
Hey, how are you?
She just told me this is very unusual. You are blind, is that right?
No, I was suffering from anxiety disorder. Yeah,
anxiety disorder. And yet you have a microphone in front of your face in front of a bunch of people.
Yes, making... I'm nervous.
Why did you decide to do this today?
I'm praying that God would take away my agitation and my anxiety and help me to be more calmer and be more relaxed.
Well, I pray for you right now on that, okay? So God, this was an incredibly brave move by this godly woman. And I pray that you would take away from her anything that is not of you. You are not an anxious God. You are not a fearful God. I pray that you would lift from her any agitation that she has in her life, any uneasiness that she has in her life, because where your Spirit is, there is not fear, but there is power, there is love, and self-discipline. So restore this woman to the proper way that you've created her to be right now, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sweetie.
Be our path, trading what we have for what will last.
and we will seek your face and not your hand. Whatever pleases you will be our path. Sing that again. Whatever pleases you will be our path. Trading what we have for what will last. And we will seek your face and not your hand. Whatever pleases you will be our path.
It's a pretty emotional moment for you. You kind of renewed relationship with God, going through some difficult things. So I'm going to let you share whatever you feel comfortable sharing, but I want you to know you're with family and you're with people who want to stand with you in this moment. So David, what's going on right now in your life?
I've been wanting to get baptized here for the last 2.5 years. I lost my family through a divorce, and my kids went with her. And I don't get to talk to him anymore. And he was the love of my life. And no matter what, I can't get in touch with him. So I've been coming here by myself every Sunday and sometimes Saturday. And I just been wanting to get baptized. And I've been trying to get to know God, but it's been hard 2.5 years. But I promised him I wouldn't give up faith. It just seems like I keep going down and down. But I won't give up, you know? And I hope.
Amen. And David, I want you to know that in the same way that you are pursuing your kids, God is pursuing you. That you're the son that he has not given up on, will not give up on. And I just believe God wants you to trust him, even in the midst of this difficulty. He wants you to trust him and know that he is for you and with you. And as you go through these waters today, I want you to know not only are you being baptized because there's a father who loves you, but you're being baptized around family who stands with you, brother. We stand with you. God, I just pray right now for David. I pray for what you're doing in his life. I pray for the restoration of his relationship with his kids, God. You're a good, good father, and you restore things that seem unredeemable. I pray that we would all get to witness the day when David is with his kids and we see the restoration that you're able to do. Bless this man. Strengthen his heart. Strengthen his back, God, as he now walks into the waters of baptism, not alone, but with you and with all of us supporting him. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to keep playing for a little bit. If you're sitting there thinking, gosh, I really want to do that, now would be your time. Now would be your time. Would you guys stand with us? We're going to sing this verse and a chorus together, all right? See, when we hear your voice,
when we hear your voice, when you call us out to the unknown, uncertain, we will call to mind your ageless faithfulness to your people, your creation. We will look to you, the author of our lives. Whatever pleases you will be our path. Training what we have, what will last. We will seek your face and not your hand. Whatever pleases you will be our path.
It's a good day. It is. It's so refreshing. It's so refreshing to in a fresh relationship with God. I know for me, I've been around for quite some time, and my heart is full from that. And we've welcomed a lot of people into the family of God today. Let's thank them all for being courageous and brave. Courageous and brave. All right, have yourself an amazing weekend. Hey, all those times I've let you out late at the 8:30 service, just pay attention. I gave you some minutes back. So there you go. You have extra time to go to Cincinnati next week. We'll see you then. Have a great one.
This is the cupcake hack. People have been eating cupcakes like freaking animals for years. This guy's got icing all up in his business. This is how you change that. You're gonna pull the bottom off, flip it over, boom, cupcake sandwich.